really, many times when you look at these different forward contracts, the key question is not what you're doing here. You're always borrowing up to the delivery date. The question here is, what's the underlying asset? That's what you have to ask. This just tells you what a foreign currency forward is. And now I want to warn you about something. Did I talk about the fact that you can quote the exchange rate in two ways, dollars per pound or pounds per dollar? Did I talk about that earlier? I said we're always going to think of exchange rate as domestic over foreign, dollars per unit of the foreign currency. The reason for that is to make the analysis similar to our analyses for when you think of buying, say, shares or buying an underlying asset of some kind. You always think of dollars per unit of the underlying asset. You don't think of the underlying asset per dollar. It's not a question of how much the underlying asset can you buy for a dollar. It's how much would you pay for one unit of the underlying asset. That's the thinking of the price. And similar here, the underlying asset is 1 pound, really. So how many dollars would you have to pay to get 1 pound? So you're agreeing today to pay a certain number of dollars in the future to get 1 pound. And when you get this 1 pound, how do you know if you've made any money? Well, that'll depend on what 1 pound is worth when you get it. You agreed to pay $2 for it. You get the 1 pound. What's that 1 pound worth when you get it? Well, that'll depend on the exchange rate then. If 1 pound is then worth $2.50, that means you can take that pound. You might go to your local Thomas Cook, give them the 1 pound, and they'll give you $2.50. Well, that means you paid $2, but you got something worth $2.50, so the profit is 50 cents. So that's what a foreign currency forward does for you. And in this case, what's the underlying asset? This is a key point. When we look at options on foreign currencies, the easiest way to think of that problem is to say, what is the underlying asset? It is going to England and buying a pound-denominated bond, which is going to give us the British interest rate, not our domestic interest rate. So, the analysis is, in this case, what replaces the payouts on the underlying asset? Before, we were buying a forward contract on a stock. While we held that stock, which was the underlying asset, what was the payout we got? We called that a dividend in that case. So we use D, right? In this case, since this, I say, is the underlying asset, when you're holding the bond, not in the foreign currency, what is the payout while you're holding the underlying asset? It's the foreign interest rate, right? So the foreign interest rate replaces the dividend that we had before, and otherwise it's the same analysis, and you end up with the same formula, except that this replaces D. And this little arbitrage table shows that if in fact you lend the foreign currency and borrow the domestic currency, you'll be able to reproduce exactly the same payoff in the future as the forward contract on the currency. So that proves that this is the underlying asset. I mean, you might have said, well, why isn't the underlying asset in the foreign currency just investing in pounds? But no one would do that, right? Right? You wouldn't just buy pounds and put them in your mattress. You'd buy pounds and put them in the bank. What is the interest rate that pounds earn? The British rate of interest. The idea in the book is to build up a case that hopefully you understand quite well, which is you have an underlying asset. You might think of a stock market index or a stock. And you talk about a forward contract on that. And then you say, okay, let's look at these other situations and see exactly how they're similar and what slight difference there is in that situation over the earlier one. And if you can understand that slight difference, then you can sort of anticipate how the formula for the forward contract will be priced slightly different. We'll do the same thing with options. We'll talk about options on an underlying asset. Then after that, we'll look at options on currencies. We'll look at options on futures contracts. And we'll see that if we understand options on sort of normal underlying assets, it'll be fairly easy for us to see how we ought to modify what we do when we talk about options on currencies or options on futures. Now, what do you think we do with options on currencies? We have a formula for the value of a call option on an underlying asset. You might think of it as a stock or a stock index. And one of the things in there is going to be D, naturally. What do you think when we look at the formula for a call option on a foreign currency? You think D is in the formula? No. But RF will be wherever D is. So get ready for that. It's the same thing. Another reason for doing forward contracts before options is they're inherently simpler, but the same kind of changes, the same kind of analysis carries through. When we think about an option on a foreign currency, that's also the underlying asset. This is just a somewhat simpler situation to look at first.